So what's up, everybody? Welcome to JP Podcast.
Let's go.
How y'all doing today? Welcome to the new episode.
Ooh, so excited. For those who don't know, my name is Ja. I'm the J in JP Podcast.
It's your girl, P. QP Ski.
QP Ski.
And I am the P in JP Podcast.
Yes.
How y'all doing tonight? How's everything going? First and foremost, I would like to thank everybody for tuning in with us for this informative topic we're going to be talking about tonight. Are you ready?
I'm super excited, actually. Just before we even get into the next part about like what this episode is about, I just want to take a second and thank everybody for the feedback that we got from the last episode. It was just fantastic. And honestly, you guys really hype us up every episode we put out. We're only on episode 5, the big thin ball. Okay, we're on episode 5. But every time we get into another episode, we get better and better every single time. And we appreciate y'all for the feedback.
Definitely. Just want to shout out our true, genuine supporters who are vibing with us and interested, you know, and ready to learn to see what we have to say.
Definitely. Next. Listening to every episode and giving us legit constructive criticism, and that is very much appreciated. We are up and coming young entrepreneurs, young black women getting it, so we just really trying to be the best that we can be and do all that we can.
Guess what?
What's up?
I'm getting it.
No, for real though, and that's the perfect song going into what this episode is about. How to get a J-O-B.
B.
How to ride around and really get it and be in your bag.
Out my mom's.
In all honesty, getting a job isn't super crazy, super hard, something that you need to really like stress about if you know what to look for. If you know how to hunt for jobs, if you know how to conduct yourself professionally in an interview, especially to portray the side that you want employers to see and not the side that be outside listen to Barilla and Mitt, okay?
I can't be both.
Because that's not what your employers want to see, okay? They want professional, they want Paris. They don't want QPC, okay? They want Paris. They don't want Ja.
I give them Paris.
They don't want Ja. They want Geronda.
I give them Paris.
Exactly.
I give them Paris.
Paris. A little flavor, a little extra.
A little extra.
But this episode is definitely going to be about how to get a job. Episode 5.
Very informative. And then, you know, I really don't think it's that hard to get a job nowadays with technology and how this, you know, environment is going right now. So I just think that for the best success rate and to get a job, there are a few steps.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And then also, before we begin to the steps on how to get a job, the main thing that you need to know too is this is a new generation. This is a new, you know, just blip in time where traditional jobs aren't necessarily cutting it the way they used to, right? When I first got my very first apartment, I was paying rent and everything off of the salary of a waitress. I was a waitress and I was paying car note, rent, paying phone bills, everything, making tips.
Yeah.
Now making, you know, thank the Lord, more money than I was then. Yeah, it's still rough because as I made more money, like, the okay, brackets. Everything else went up.
Them brackets.
Yeah, I had a one bedroom for like $750.
That was love back.
Yeah, no way. There's no way in 2024 that you can find a nice one bedroom that has central air for $750.
Especially not in Dallas. Not in Chicago either.
Definitely not in Chicago.
Definitely not in Chicago.
I mean, you could in Chicago, you just ain't gonna wanna stay there.
Yeah.
Y'all be talking about 63rd. Yeah. You really gonna be on 63rd.
Nah, I agree with you and stuff like that. You know, we are kind of yin and yang in a way. You know, I did have, you know, somewhere that this is my first apartment, to be honest with you. So I'm kind of like learning and stuff like that, you know, how things are and stuff. So I am thankful for that part. But just, you know, self-assessing myself, like just putting myself in different brackets to be like, okay, I'm able to expand and just being a woman, growing to womanhood.
Yeah. And talking about like self-assessment and figuring out where you are in life, like that ties into, you know,
getting a J.
Oh, exactly.
Like knowing your strengths and knowing your weaknesses, understanding your skills, experiences, and the areas that you may need for an improvement. You know, yeah. A good, great strength would be having communication skills. Like, yes. Knowing how to both write, but also be verbal when you speak to someone in a professionalism. Trust me, it's going to be always good for you.
Yes, definitely. Especially with the communication, just to kind of piggyback off of that. It's more than just your vernacular, right? Communication spans so wide, and you just have to know it's everything. It's how you speak to people, how loud you speak to people, how low you speak to people, how you type your emails, how you send your text messages. It's everything. It's communication is so wide, and it's also making sure that when you are communicating, you're getting the point across. This first. Isn't like when you're kind of hinting at things with your friends and family. Man. Like, you have to be specific.
Man, first impression speaks loud.
Yes.
That like, I've always told my cousins or anybody I met, I'm like, first impression, like, if I don't click or vibe with you, or just in a professional setting, like, if it doesn't click to where it fits for me, I just feel like, no.
Yeah, definitely.
We're going on to the next one. Problem solving. Are you good at having skills? Are you good at critical thinking? Can you think of your feet? When something is going wrong, are you able to not just not do it or just fix the problem, but also be able to have a solution for the problem?
At the end of the day, too, problem solving is so important, especially right now. Right now, because the generation that we're living in, the time that we're living in, everything is very much so digital. There's a lot of remote workers. There's a lot of people that don't have bosses and things like that, like, breathing down their necks physically every single day to make sure things get done. So something really huge that employers are looking for is somebody who can solve problems independently. You know, you don't need to email me all day 24/7, like, you know, hey Ja, how do you do this? Hey Ja, I know I asked you this like a few hours ago, but can you tell me one more time, like, step who do I step. Send this email to? They want somebody who can solve problems on their own.
I tell you one because time, and you know what to do with it.
It's like with our parents, right, when we are, you know, showing them how to use the iPhone or whatever, and they're like, wait, how do you, like, I just want to copy this. Like, just take a second, slow down.
Understand what
the
I'm
quickest
to
way
show
now, we're millennials, to solve a problem is, if I don't know something, I'm YouTube certified.
Oh yeah. Oh. Cool.
I will look something up so quick. And that right there is called what? Problem solving.
Man.
I don't need to, you know, I just gotta wait for my boyfriend to come home and do. I mean, that's totally fine if you do, but I'm just saying, I need it done right now. So I'm gonna go on YouTube and I'm gonna figure it out because I need it done right now.
Oh, but look at the instructions.
Exactly. Just when pull I it off the box.
I'll just look at the box. That's all I need. Just show me the
picture
of the box.
That's what it's supposed to look like? Cool. It's supposed to look like this? Say less.
And then when I put it together, I'd be happy when I'm like, Hercules.
Oh,
I did
no.
It. Hey, question, side note. You remember our first apartment?
Oh, my God.
When we was up at 6 o'clock in the morning, putting together the desk.
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness.
And it was like, stop!
Oh my God. They're just memories, yeah.
Just memories. I'm sorry, we get off topic. But let's keep going. But overall, I really think that the first thing that should have been first was leadership. Like, you need to show some type of leadership, demonstrate that you can lead a team, that you are able to, like you said, be able to stand on your own, yes. Show that you can solve problems, yes. So that you can solve solutions, and be able to put your best foot forward.
Yes.
And complete things in a timely manner.
Yeah, for sure. That's for sure. Leadership skills are so important, especially, just depends on where you want to go in life. I mean, some people just don't have the knack for being a leader, and that's totally fine. Some people just don't want to be a leader, and that's fine too. Like, you don't want the pressure of people having to, you know, depend on you in a different type of way than the way your boss depends on you, you know, and that's totally fine too. But having leadership skills will definitely help you excel in your professional journey, because at the end of the day, a lot of people are good workers, but they are not good bosses. Just because you are a good worker and you are top on your team and you're getting you know, the highest bonuses every month because you close the most deals, or that does not mean you are a good manager. That means you are a good worker. Mm-hmm. And going back to the first thing that Paris said, which was assessing your skills, please, please, please take a moment to really think about the fact that you may not be a good leader, but you may be a good worker. I cannot stress this enough. I've had some horrible bosses that just because they were fantastic and they closed the most deals and they were the loudest when it came to presenting to their clients, the CEO thought they were a great manager. You're not a great manager, you're a great worker.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, and that's going to adaptability.
Yes.
Like, you have to be able to adapt to your surroundings. You have to be able to adapt and not lose control.
Yes.
Because, like you said, you can't be a leader if you lose control. Leaders are able to adapt. They're able to problem solve. They're able to have great communication skills. They're able to do so many things wrapped up into one, multitask. And yes. Be able to still maintain a level head.
Yeah, especially just really getting into detail with being adaptable and just having adaptability is, especially if you're in the corporate world, a lot of times there'll be a reorganization internally in your company. Sometimes maybe you guys will get new software and they want to make sure all employees can catch on to that software quickly and be able to still provide the same service and be as efficient as they were before. You need to be able to adapt. If a new software comes out, you need to be like, hey, Paris, this new software called ABC is coming out tomorrow. We have early access to it. We are going live with this software in 3 days. Mm-hmm. Can you learn it? You need to be, yes, absolutely.
Responsibilities.
Yes.
Ensures a smooth transition.
Exactly. So you just need to be able to really just adapt to everything that's going on.
Mm-hmm. That's also attention to detail. Like, you're paying attention to what needs to be done in the work business. Like, what can I assure that it's qualified for it? Mm-hmm. In a way.
Yeah, and just attention to detail depending on the type of field you work in, whether it's, you know, automotive, whether it's advertising or marketing or business development or sales, you need to make sure that if you signed a deal for $400,000, you don't put $450,000 in that contract, because that's not paying attention to detail. That's not reading the fine print. That's not really just making sure that everything is, you know, T's crossed, I's dotted type of thing.
Yeah. I'm just listening. Like, she, when it comes to me and her, she's more of the mega mind, shall I say?
I just feel like you're like those mad scientists that be in the lab with the big ass head and the glasses. That's what I feel like.
She's more of that person, and I'm just more of the free willy.
Free willy nilly.
She's experimenting on me.
Free willy nilly.
A little.
I'm sorry. That was. I please some of y'all watch SpongeBob. A little.
I promise you. But man, that's just crazy. But yes, that just shows that we have to assess ourselves and know what strengths we have, so that we can find the appropriate and right job that fits best for us.
Yes.
Because you don't want to just go and work a job. Understandably, you're not supposed to be like, hey, yay, I love this job. But you want a job that you are able to work and be comfortable and be able to say, hey, I do like working at this place. I mean, I love it, but I do enjoy being here in the presence of this place.
You know, this is kind of a one-off, but it's a question for you. It's something that somebody asked me actually a few days ago. Mm-hmm. We were first discussing, they asked what our next episode was going to be about. And I told them we're talking about how to get a job. And they asked me, do you think that people are supposed to be happy at their job? And what is your answer? I know what mine was. I want to know what your answer was first, though.
I do think that you are supposed to be happy at your job. But I don't think that you are supposed to, enjoy your... let me change that. I think you're supposed to enjoy your job, but not necessarily be happy at the job.
Okay.
If you understand what I mean.
Okay.
Like, I don't know how to explain it.
I think I know what you're trying to say, because it kind of is the way I want to word it, right? So... I think you are not supposed to be happy at your job. That's just the base, right? Mm-hmm. But to expand on that, I think that you're supposed to enjoy the environment of mm-hmm. your job. Like, I want to have pleasant coworkers.
Yeah.
I personally go to work when I manage people, when I was managing people, I always told them when we were training, I don't need you to come in here acting like a cheerleader. I don't need you to come in here acting a certain type of way. I just need you to be pleasant.
I just need you to work.
Don't be a, well, not even just work, because that's not what I'm talking about. I mean, like, co-worker wise, whatever. I don't need you to be extra. I'm like, oh my God, it's so-and-so's birthday. We have to go ahead and plan. Like, you don't have to do all that. Just be a pleasant co-worker. Because I don't want to come here and feel miserable because, you know, we'll call her Jane, is in the corner just always like, did you see what Geronda pet on that? Don't mind your business. Mind the business that pays you. My title doesn't pay you. Your title pays you. So mind your business. But outside of that, the type of mindset that I have is I can never be happy working for somebody else's dream.
Because
I have an entrepreneur in a mindset, and I also have an ambitious, ambitious career path for myself that I'm sticking to, and that I plan to stick to.
Exactly.
And I will never be happy working for somebody else's dream, because at the end of the day,
I have a dream.
At the end of the day, you are supposed to be content in your job, and you're supposed to let your job serve its purpose. The purpose of your job is to do what? Pay that light bill, pay that gas bill, get them groceries, and pay that car note. So I am content and happy. To
because
find
I'm
a salary, to find a salary until I can work for my own dream that can pay my bills. So in that regard, yes, you should be happy with your compensation. But the job, I personally will never be happy working for somebody else's dream.
Exactly.
That's not gonna make me happy.
Pretty much what you just elaborated on what I said. Pretty
much. I tried. Because
that's pretty much how I wanted to say it. But yeah. I'm short version P. Yeah. She's long exaggerated.
Yeah.
So she makes me go, and like she really brings me down to earth and makes me think about like,
Yeah, sometimes I definitely bring people down to earth a little too hard. I definitely could make it a little softer.
No, yeah, definitely. I just be rolling with the punches and go.
Yeah, you're
like just... she. That's my little Rocky Rock. I don't know what else to say about her. Like I just love her. Like sometimes she get on my darn nerves. Like the other day, but I ain't gonna put on blast. Ain't gonna put on blast.
I be emotional. It's okay.
She definitely do.
It's okay. And but she I'm level headed. Like, I'm a professional.
And she gonna be like, can I get a hug? You think I want
because
a
it's
hug?
Like okay. Side note. Okay. Screw the job talk real quick. Side note. Okay, I was laughing because, you know, I had my little outburst yesterday, you know, my little temper tantrum that I had yesterday. So I was telling one of my best friends today that, you know, me and Paris got into like a little, it wasn't an argument, it was a little disagreement. And she was laughing because I asked Paris to give me a hug after, because regardless if it's a relationship, you know, romantic or platonic, I just feel like I don't want to go to bed angry. Like,
I
don't know, you know, people say that they'll be like, I just didn't like the way you acted yesterday. And I'm like, I thought you wasn't mad. So I just want to make sure that, you know, we hug it out.
It's like
when you punish it's like when you punish your kids, you know what I'm saying? Like afterwards, like, do you know why I punished you? Like, but instead of that, it's not like, do you know why I had an outburst? It's more so like, did you understand why I was upset?
Yeah.
And then now I want to understand why you were upset. And I just don't want to go to bed angry.
We did it though.
Exactly. We're good. We hugged it out. We hugged last night. We hugged this morning. And we're great. Best friends.
We're all in this.
Best friends.
She won't be her best friend.
But yeah, sorry. Back on track. You can pick your pen back up so you can finish taking notes.
Yes. We're going to get to the weaknesses.
Yes. You have your strengths. And now let's talk about weaknesses. Please. This is what we literally just talked about. Like, I am definitely mega mind over here. And you're fucking a little.
I'm sorry. But we're going to get to the weaknesses. I like saying weaknesses.
I can't even say it right. Please. Wrap it up.
But no, number one in weaknesses is being impatient. Like, some people are very impatient with things. Just like how she said she wants to follow up and blow them up. You can do that, but don't be impatient doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I'm laughing because we're talking about strengths and weaknesses, and my biggest weakness is, you're going to talk about my other one, but I have two big ones that always kind of not hinder me because it's a gift and a curse, but impatience is not something that
you have.
I
know. I was going to talk about
it. It's not something that really does me wrong, but at the same time, it's a weakness because I want instant gratification. If I want an email sent, I want it now. Mm-hmm. if I need, you know, something for my job and, you know, the client was listening to yesterday, I needed it yesterday.
You needed it 2 days ago.
Yeah. Like, I need it, like, right now. Because I feel like it's hindering me in messing up my quality of work if I don't have it right now. Yeah. Now, granted, on the flip side, when you're looking for a job, once again, I'm impatient, which we'll talk about later, but I definitely will be on someone's ass. Like, hey, are you still hiring? Like, hey, I had my interview, you know, 10 minutes ago. Like, did you make a decision? Like, I'll be on your butt. So my impatience kind of gets in the way for me a lot.
Yeah. Don't let that be a weakness. You can be a little patient, but don't be impatient, okay?
Yeah.
Some people have a hard time, and sometimes I do have this problem with public speaking. Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes when it's a big crowd, like, of people I don't know, I sometimes freeze. Or, and, you know?
Yeah.
I just get tongue twisted and tied.
Do you remember, have you ever seen Made in Manhattan with Jennifer Lopez? Remember the Congress dude, the one that she was meeting with? And he was saying he puts the paperclip in his hand to, like, help with public speaking. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know, this is, once again, a little bit off topic, but that's something called, like, stimming, right?
Right.
So when when you're speaking, what you can do is put something in your hand to fiddle with.
Yeah, I always,
to, like, stem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To keep, make it feel like you're moving. Or
you can fixate on that so it'll get your mind off of other things.
It's crazy. Or picture everybody in their underwear.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. So what I do when it comes to public speaking, what I do to get over it is I think about the worst case scenario. This is a bit dramatic because, I'm a dramatic person, but
obviously,
for instance, if I'm public speaking, right, and it's for my job, so not getting too in detail with what I do for a living, but I have clients and I have to talk to my clients on a damn near daily basis. So what I do is I just think in my head, like, what's the worst that can happen? I'll get fired. Okay. And I'm like, cool.
I'm like, I know my strengths. I can go someplace else.
Like, I have enough intelligence and enough experience to have this podcast.
I have a dream.
Like, I'm good. But no, like, literally, I think about what's the worst that can happen. I'm like, they'll just fire me.
Exactly.
And I'm like, anyway, so welcome. It's June 5th. You know what
I'm saying? I'm like, I don't need this. I want this. That's the difference.
Yeah, I'm like, I need this job to pay my bills. But it's not my dream. So, now, granted, that's just me because I just am dramatic. So I'll be like, they'll just fire me if I fuck this up. But that's how I get over my public speaking, is I'll prep. And plus, another way to get over public speaking is to just make sure you have all the skills. You know, like, you have all the skills already, but make sure you prep and you know what you're gonna say. It's kind of like when you're
having a little cue card.
Yeah, like when you're trying to, like, memorize a song. Mm-hmm. So you sit there and you play it over and over again. Yeah, make sure you know what you're speaking on.
Like, you know your formations.
Yeah, like your
dance moves and stuff. Like, you get your, hi, my name is Paris.
I know y'all can't see her, but she just did, like, a whole cheer formation, and honestly, you're blessed to have not seen it. So, we're just gonna keep going.
Now, this one, I feel that a lot of people kind of want to have. Like, I don't think it could be a weakness or it could be a strength to me. Perfectionist.
It's both for me.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like it could be both.
I am such a perfectionist that, like, yeah.
Me too, because I feel like with...
You have it bad.
I do. I have...
Well, you know what's crazy, though? Yours is... I feel like mine is more, like, mental, like, things that I'm, like little tedious things I'm doing, like, on the computer or, like, something like that. Like, I need it to be, like, perfect if I'm, like, editing something or whatever. But yours is with, like, physical things.
Yeah, like,
if you're cleaning, it needs to be clean. Now, granted, that's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing. Yeah. But you will literally be like, no, I still see a speck of dust on it. It's not
like,
clean.
Because it's like, when I get into that mood, like, when I want something done to the T, it has to be done to the T. And I don't know. It irks me when I do it and it's not done right. Like, you ain't gonna do it right. Like, get out of my way. Just go somewhere else. Let me figure out how I want this done.
But the thing is, though, about being a perfectionist is it's okay sometimes to do it, like, when it's on your own time. Mm-hmm. But doing it professionally is not good. Yeah, it's not good. It messes up a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah, you gotta be a little loose, just a little bit.
Yeah, just because, I mean, it'll literally have you messing up things just because you're trying to make it so perfect. You'll be overthinking it. You'll take forever to do it. So.
Like, man, it took them 5 minutes to do one simple task, and it's taking you 30 minutes.
Yeah. Like, and then, I mean, at the end of all this too, we'll give you guys a few little pointers for things that you can put on your computer to help just help you move faster, different tools that you can use to help you write out things or what have you. So but yeah, we'll do that towards the end.
But yes, it's always good to have strengths and weaknesses because they make who you are, and those help you find the perfect job for you in your criterion area of work.
For sure. And now that we've, you know, kind of assessed our strengths and weaknesses, it's time to pretty much move on at this point and actually update your resume and update your online profiles. So first, I'm really glad that Paris already brought up the fact that you need to really assess your strengths. This is very, 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 I cannot stress this enough. I'll put one more very in there so you understand that I'm serious. This is very important when it comes to building your resume, because one of the main issues that I've personally seen as somebody who has hired people in the past and has trained people in the past and at this point in life as well, is you'll have a strength, but you do not label it correctly. Sometimes, okay, for instance, when I first was getting into marketing and advertising, in my previous career field, it was business development. And a lot of tasks that I had to do in business development were actually the same type of skills that you need to have in advertising and marketing. Just for an example, something called SEM, which is search engine marketing. When I was doing business development and I would help out the marketing and manager, stuff like that, I didn't even know that I was doing paid search or search engine marketing. I didn't even know I was doing that. I didn't know I knew how to do that until I started trying to break into the career field of marketing and advertising. And I was like, oh, I already know how to do that. I already have that certification. So really assess the skills that you have. And if you already have specific certifications or anything like that, you can always plug those into your resume. And because of that, it's just making sure that you use certain keywords when you're actually making your resume so you can pass the ATS scans. For those of you who do not know what ATS means, it's Applicant Tracking System. So if you apply to an advertising or marketing job and you're not using the correct wording, they now put your resume into a AI or artificial intelligence scanner that will literally scan your resume. And if you don't have these keywords in there, they'll essentially toss you to the side or put you at the bottom of the list. So if you're looking for a job in, you know, once again, we'll say advertising or healthcare or something like that along those lines, make sure you go and type in the exact title that you're looking for. If you're a customer success manager, go in on Google and just do a quick little scan of, you know, resume examples for customer success manager. And try to use some of those keywords and put those on your resume. The next part would be your LinkedIn profile. Some people don't have a LinkedIn, that's totally fine, but it is very beneficial for you to have a LinkedIn profile. This is like your professional social media. So you want to have a professional photo, nice smile, you know, business or business casual attire, and then you want to describe yourself in a way that is highlighting your skills and highlighting them quickly. So just, you know, for instance, for me on my LinkedIn profile, I have SEM skills, I have SEO or search engine optimization skills, I've worked on multiple social media platforms, I've worked with creative tools, so on and so forth. So all of that is listed on my LinkedIn profile. The previous jobs I've worked at, the title that I held is on my LinkedIn profile. And this is just a nice way for your employers to find you or kind of take a quote unquote look into your personal life, even though we know LinkedIn is not personal, it's professional. But if they feel like they're getting a glimpse at you before they even hire you. And sometimes they'll even do that before the interview. They'll know what you look like and everything already just based off your LinkedIn profile. So just make sure you write a compelling headline, compelling summary, and just really showcase your accomplishments and skills.
And to tie that in, that's also with online networking.
Yes.
Because LinkedIn is online.
Yes.
Like, you can engage, like you said, with different professionals in your industry. You know, you can also join relevant groups or participate in different discussions to connect with recruiters.
Yes.
There's different things that you can do. You can also do an in-person network. You're going to attend an industry event. Or you can attend different conferences or meetups.
Yes.
Like, it's different ways. If you want the job, there are ways to get the job.
Yes.
Ways to get the job. Yeah. It's no one way. Anybody can go and do something to set your mind does not work how her mind works, and therefore there's for.
Yes, and there's been multiple jobs that I've had, even just based off of employers going to go look at my LinkedIn. I have recommendations from previous coworkers from different companies I worked for that literally write, you know, like a reference on my LinkedIn saying, you know, Jaronda's great X, Y, and Z, or what have you. I've joined volunteer groups from being on LinkedIn. I've gotten to go to tech conventions and all types of things based off of LinkedIn. And it's a really great way to network and just all the connections you make on there. You know, the past two jobs I've had, I actually got them off of LinkedIn.
Definitely. I feel like LinkedIn or anything like in that form, like professional, is like an ancestry. Like it connects you to people who you thought that you didn't know. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, wow, we both have that same thing in category. Let me see what this field has for me.
Yeah, and, you know, depending on the industry you're in, it's very small. You know, the industry that I'm in is very small. And sometimes I meet people now that I worked with 5, 6, 7 years ago. So it's a great way to network and really just stay in touch with what's going on also. And it's also a great way to find jobs as well. Like I said before, you know, the current position that I have, I actually got that position off of LinkedIn. So this LinkedIn essentially is a job board as well, just like other things that I'm sure you've heard of, like Indeed, Glassdoor, and things like that. But this is just a great way to stay informed with job openings. You can go on there and search and say, you know, customer service or remote jobs or anything of that nature.
I was gonna say, how many times have you or have anybody seen or applied for a job and when they say, where did you find this job?
Exactly, yeah, and or ask you, like, did you see it on Indeed? Did you see it on LinkedIn? Did you hear about it from a current employee or something?
And you'd be like, man, it's so many places where I could have looked up this job.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And now that, you know, you kind of did all the assessing, you networked, you built your resume, built your online profile and your online presence, it's time to actually start looking for the job, actually start the application process. So there's just multiple ways to really dig into that. Now, this part right here is to each his own. The professional quote-unquote way to do it is to have a cover letter. I personally have never had a cover letter in my life.
Me either.
And I haven't needed one. Every interview that I went on, I've aced it. I've never had a problem because I have something on my resume called like a profile section. So essentially I use that as my cover letter, but I don't tailor it to a specific job. So that's one way you can have a cover letter. You can also go the traditional route and you can make a cover letter for each job you apply to. Just now with this time, you know, this time that I have now, which is pretty much non-existent, I don't have time to sit there and type up a new cover letter every time I apply to a different job. Another thing you can do is if you're just somebody that wants to break into the corporate world, you can make a cover letter based on the industry or based on the job title. If you want to be either a customer success manager or a account executive or a business development manager, whatever, you can make a cover letter for each one and just kind of use that same one to apply to multiple jobs. But outside of that, the application process, you want to follow instructions and just make sure you apply to the job exactly as it's listed. If you're especially going on things like Indeed, Indeed is the cheapest and quickest way for employers to get their job posting out. So a lot of times they don't really look at the Indeed applications. This is speaking from somebody who hired people through Indeed. It was too many applications for me to really sit and look through. So I would literally put a link in there and say, email, you know, this is my email, email me directly if you're interested. It's so you have to, you have to really look through the posting because sometimes they'll say, you know, we don't really look at these, send a direct email to our hiring manager, you know, CindyLou@855whatevercorporate.com.
And that's how most companies look for people with strengths and weaknesses. They look for the people who actually listen and read to what they have to say.
Yes, yes. Now, this next part is probably my favorite part of the entire process. I love going on interviews. Yes, I love going on interviews because
I'm scared sometimes.
You know, I used to be so thrilling. Scared when I was younger. Like, I was like 17, 18 going on job interviews. And I'm like, what if they don't like me? Now, you can't tell me shit.
I'll be scared and I get there and I'm like, oh, you're just a regular person. What's up?
So the first part for interviews is always to research. Learn the company, its culture, products, competitors, understand the role and how you fit. There's nothing worse than going to a job
and not knowing anything about
And not knowing anything about the job. They're like, why do you want to work here? And you're like, oh yeah, I mean,
I just looked it up.
It's a job. Boy, like, look. So for instance, I work in like the automotive advertising marketing industry, right? So I used to work in-house at dealerships, and a lot of times I would interview people for different roles, and you know, we'd ask them like, what do you know about the dealership? And they'd be like, well, you guys sell Toyotas. And I'm like, no, what do you know about us though?
Right. What do
and
we
they
do?
They knew nothing, right? Or you'd ask them about the role, like, you know, what excites you the most about being in this position? And they're like, oh, well, I'm good at talking and communicating with people. Yeah, that's fantastic. So is 98% of the world. So what interests you about this role though? Mm-hmm. So really researching the company and products, competitors, you know, who are their main competitors? Like, are you familiar with the area if you're in-house with the job? And if you're remote, even better, use that to your advantage. Like for me, I'm somebody that works remote, so a lot of my clients and things like that, they're really surprised when I start speaking to them like I live in their state or their city. I'm like, oh yeah, you're right off of Highway 62, right on the corner of Elston and Damon, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, awesome, awesome. So, you know, and they really love that. It's like, oh, well, she really looked into it. Mm-hmm. You know, and having that before you even get the job shows, one, that you're dedicated, mm-hmm. and two, you know what the hell you're talking about.
Exactly, that's that continuous
exactly,
learning.
Exactly. Also, for interviews, you can ask common questions. So just kind of practicing what you want to say to them. And you can also use the STAR method, which is also situation, task, action, result, and kind of structure your responses based on questions they also would ask you. Because they'll ask you common questions as well, just kind of like, you know, how long have you been in the industry and things of that nature.
So question, how many questions for you? I think I know my answer too, but how many questions do you think you're supposed to ask when you get an interview? How many questions do you think you
should I ask, or they're gonna ask?
Well, we know how many questions they're gonna ask you. They're gonna ask you a lot of questions, but how many questions do you think that you should ask?
I think there's like five main ones you should ask.
Mm-hmm.
Five main ones.
Yeah, I was gonna say 3 to 5, depending on if they answered the question already.
And play those are just off. Those are just base level, unless you're somebody who's really it just depends how high up on the food chain you mm-hmm. are when you're having the interview, because mm-hmm. sometimes interviews can go very long. I've been in interviews that have lasted like an hour and a half.
I think you really, like, some people don't act, when you don't ask questions at the end, I think that does hinder you. So
it looks like you don't care. Yeah, it's like having a meeting questions. It's like having a meeting with somebody, or you're even talking to somebody like on a personal level, like telling them about your life, and they're just like, yeah, that's crazy.
And they don't ask questions.
And you're like, okay, you're not listening to shit I'm saying right now. Yeah.
So whenever you go, please.
So make the sure questions, you know, common questions that they actually ask you, which is where you can use the STAR method, which is situation, task, action, result. They'll ask you questions like, tell me about a situation where you had to overcome an obstacle.
That's the main one.
Tell me a situation you were in where a customer really frustrated you.
And how did you handle it?
Tell me a situation where, you know, your boss asked you to do a task and you found yourself struggling to complete the task. We all have those same questions. And you really could just kind of, once again, reiterate the situation, mm-hmm. reiterate the task at hand, mm-hmm. action, result. There's so many easy ways to overcome having those type of conversations. So just really, you know, make sure you're thinking about how you're going to structure your responses. You can even look up typical questions that are asked in interviews before you go to once again prep and have that ready.
Mm-hmm.
Next part though is questions for them. This is my favorite part. Do not be afraid to flex your worth when you are going in these interviews. I can't tell you how many times they were like, oh, do you have any questions? Well, we'll call you. And I'm like, well, wait a second, I have a few questions. You know, do not be afraid to ask about compensation up front. Once again, this is a job. We know why we're here. I'm here to get paid and you're here to pay me to do a job. So let's talk about how much I'm gonna get paid, because at the end of the day, that may be my deciding factor. It's not the most important thing at a job, because the number one reason in the world why people quit their jobs is actually not because of what they're getting paid. It's because they have horrible bosses. So do not be afraid to ask about compensation or to state how much you want to be compensated. Mm-hmm. Two, do not be afraid to ask them questions like, how long has your longest employee been here? How often do you have layoffs? How often do you reorganize the structure of your company? How often do we have employee appreciation?
How will this company benefit?
Exactly. What are the benefits? What is your PTO policy? What is your healthcare policy? What is your medical emergency policy? Mm-hmm. Do not be afraid to ask them these questions. Prime example also about knowing your worth is I did a job interview for a job that I really wanted, which I did get the job. But I was in the interview and he tried to kind of like, you know, especially in the automotive industry, there's a lot of men that are like 60 plus years old that just think they're the shit. And I'm sitting there and he's like, why should I hire you? And I politely open palmed, put out my hand and said, you have my resume. It speaks for itself. You called me for this interview because you know I have the skills and you know I'm the shit. So yeah, you have my resume, sir. Thank you. And yes, I did get the job. Because it's okay to be a little cocky, not to be arrogant. A little cocky though, and like, no, I know what I'm doing. And then the last thing is just following up after the interview. So after the interview, it's okay to be on their ass. It's okay to, you know, send them a professional email right after and say, hey, thanks so much, Bob, for meeting with me today. I really look forward to being a part of your team. There, it's okay to give them a call the next day. It's okay to give them a follow-up call a week later. It's okay to do all of these things and not feel like you're bugging them. It's totally fine. I will call them every single day until I get the job. That also shows them that you want the job. So be like, oh, I haven't heard anything, you know, in 4 days. I guess I didn't get it. Call them. Until they tell you no, call them every single day. Mm-hmm. Go up there if you have to. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid.
And that's just roll over to us, like just continuously learning about the company. Once you get the job, you follow up, enroll in some courses, attend workshops, you know, just to enhance your skills. So once they do give you that call back, you'll be ready and prepared to do the job and task.
Yeah, and like, even, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead,
No, I was gonna say even too, if there's a career field that you wanna break into and you feel like you don't have the skills necessary to do it. Because sometimes I'll even tell people like, oh, you should apply here and apply there. And they're like, well, I don't know how to do that. There's certifications online that you can get literally within days, within hours, some even. Whether it's, you know, in the digital world or what have you, UX design or analytics or whatever, or project management, there's certifications that you can get within days or weeks that you can use to build your resume.
Yep, so just pretty much stay organized and persistent, you know, like they say, treat your job search like a job. Like, you're not applying to one job, you're applying to 100 jobs.
Yeah.
Set daily goals, maintain a regular schedule, stay positive. That's the most important thing about this. Stay positive. One may turn you down, but many may open the doors for you.
Yes.
So don't get discouraged, don't get upset, don't get impatient. Just know that there is something out there for you and you're applying yourself, your skills, your weaknesses, your strengths, you're applying everything and showing that, you know, I got this, I can get this. This is something that I want. It don't necessarily mean that I need it because I do have a dream myself. And as Ja said earlier, I'm working this to get to where I want to be for myself because I'm not going to continue.
Keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your mind set on the goal that you have.
Yeah, because right? You are the goal, not somebody else's dream.
Exactly. You're so if you're working, you know, a corporate job and being a waitress on the side, remember why you're doing this. Mm-hmm. Or if you're applying to a new job and you're afraid to quit the old one, remember why you're doing this. Remember that's somebody else's dream, so you quitting that job is not going to hinder them at all.
Exactly, because they already
because
got
you were
their
never
dream.
A part of the dream in the first place.
Exactly, you were just working the dream.
Exactly, you're just working the dream. That's it. And applying to jobs is really a spitball method. The more you apply to, the more callbacks you get, the more interviews you're going on. You can never apply to enough until you get a job.
Yep, and just like she said, be certified. Get those certifications if you can, because they will also increase your resume.
Yes.
They will make, like she said, your resume speaks volume for itself. I shouldn't even have to open my mouth and say anything about myself because my resume says it all.
Exactly. And I know this was a long one, guys.
We do apologize. We just
I don't apologize, because at the end of the day, there's so many people that, you know, especially in our age group that are millennials too, that mm-hmm. we're getting to that point now. We're late 20s, we're getting to early 30s. We're not looking for certain type of jobs anymore. We're looking for high level corporate jobs mm-hmm. that are gonna last us, mm-hmm. that we can, you know, have our 401k, have our life insurance policy, have our healthcare plan, things like that, that really can just stay with us for the rest of our life, mm-hmm. you know, at this point. So, that sounds really old, but I'm not trying to make it sound old, but we're at this point now where we're having families, things of that nature.
We need
salaries,
steady.
We need something steady, we need six figures, we need a lot of income.
Yes.
So this is just a nice refresher for things that I'm sure a lot of you already know, mm-hmm. but...
And for the people who don't know, well, we're glad that we gave you some information for you to jot down. And hopefully this does work for you. Hit us up. Let us know if you make your resume. If you need us to make your resume, we got you.
I charge $100 resume.
We got you. Yeah. But we really want to see people succeed and be successful in life. We are all entrepreneurs in this. And I just love seeing everyone win. Not just win for someone else, but win for
it
yourself.
It makes me happy to see other people win.
Yeah, it definitely does. Like, genuinely happy. I'm not happy out of jealousy.
I'm like, girl, I knew you could do that.
I'm just how happy you are for yourself. I'm just as maybe even more excited
because
we're happy
you
did
for
it for yourself. And that makes me,
Well, we appreciate y'all. And once again, like Paris said, if you have any questions about how to build a resume, how to prepare for an interview, things you should ask on an interview.
Hit us up.
Or if you need any recommendations for different jobs, once again, we both have connections.
Definitely.
We'll be happy to piss somebody on, whatever.
We got all types of loyals and everything in our families and stuff. Let us know. Like, we are very
resourceful.
Very.
Yes.
Very blessed and resourceful.
Yeah, but that was how to get a job. Now, that's enough of the professionalism.
How to get a job.
We know why we here.
We know why we here.
What we about to do, Pear?
Oh, you ready to play?
Drum roll, please. Anything?
And everything.
Let's go.
So, the last episode, we played a game. And I'm going to go off with the little hints that we gave you.
Yes.
So the first one was, I am similar to a chameleon. I change colors. I am light as a feather. I love outside air. When it's frigid, I tend to fall. I am a part of something so much bigger than my small size. Now, a lot of people gave us different answers. They were kind of on a thing of being outside and everything. Someone said a tree, which is kind of close.
Kind of close.
Not necessarily that, because a tree is kind of big and stalky and heavy.
It's like saying it's a burger.
heavy.
Got so heavy, baby.
And then it was like, change
10 points
colors.
If you know where that song is from. I can quote that all day.
Yes.
I got an idea. Let's turn the wigs around. Sophisticated looking.
No, but for real, people said a tree. Some people said a branch. I'm like,
that's funny. A branch? That's close.
Somebody said grass. I'm like, maybe. But not necessarily that. You guys were on the right track. Do you want to know what it is?
Yes.
What is it?
What we described was
a leaf. It was a leaf, guys. Guys, you guys, y'all not, we are winning in this. Like, you guys can't guess anything. But I bet you the next one, y'all gonna probably try to guess. Y'all gonna get it.
Yeah, but we went easy on y'all this time. I mean, whatever. Okay, I'm about to get into it. So I'm gonna describe what next week's thing is. I am something to hold with both hands. My fingers come in different thicknesses and sizes. I could have a solid body, hollow body, or semi-hollow body. Melody is one of my names. I have a long neck and a C-shaped profile.
Ooh, We're going to see who know what those is. We may have some good people out here with some good listening ears.
Yes.
They might have some good ears.
Yeah, I want to know what y'all think for real. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, just let us know. I have an idea for next week's already, so
yeah,
I'm thinking about it right now. That's why I got kind of quiet. But
it's okay. I'm so excited. So what is going to be next week? Like, do we have anything?
So
I don't think we do.
So I'm really excited for next week's episode because, as you all know from listening, these first five episodes have been very structured. We've had a topic, things that we talked to you all about, things of that nature. But now we're getting into the real nitty gritty of JP Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all about to just hear what me and Paris think about stuff off the dome.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure if any of you are familiar with something called Dear Abby, or for my Chicago people, the Steve Harvey Morning Show, the Strawberry Letter. But essentially, this episode will be called Dear JP. This is a advice column.
Mm-hmm.
So in the next 5 to 7 days, you can go on our Instagram or our email, which is jppodcast2024@gmail.com. You can submit anything you would like to, or answer questions about our day-to-day life, questions about, you know, day-to-day life that you may have,
mm-hmm.
give advice on your current problems and situations.
Mm-hmm.
You can also just kind of ask us things that, you know, that whole like asking for a friend, whatever. Yeah. And
whatever
then
you wanna ask.
Whatever you want to ask. And we will not air your dirty laundry, so don't worry.
No.
It'll all
be
anonymous.
Say your name.
We're not going to say, well, Caitlin from Tennessee. We're not going to do that. But
Sabrina from Michigan.
Exactly. But go ahead, submit your questions, submit your situations, and we will give our honest opinion, our honest feedback. It doesn't matter how dirty it is, how crazy it is,
how raunchy it is.
It doesn't matter.
Whatever you want to say, whatever, if you have any advice, if you want to ask us about anything that you want to hear our dirty secrets, ask us.
And we're going to get really personal with y'all next week, because in the midst of this advice column, me and Paris are just going to give life updates.
Yeah.
Like, there's, you know, we're both at points in our life where we just got stuff going on.
Too much.
A lot. So
extra.
That one's going to be a little juicy because, once again, you'll get to hear other people's situations, all anonymous, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But besides all that, go ahead, like, comment, and subscribe to our podcast. We're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Pandora, iHeartRadio, The Works, streaming everywhere.
Favorite it, because once you favorite it, it shows you every time
we
post.
And when you comment, please give us a very good rating if we deserve it. Let us know.
We know we deserve it. Ain't no if. We know we deserve it.
If we deserve it, let us know what you think. Feel free to just kind of give us constructive criticism and let us know areas that we can improve on, things of that nature. Shoot us an email at, once again, jppodcast2024@gmail.com.
Hit us up, y'all. We thank y'all. And, you know, peace out.
Peace out. Turn us up. Don't turn us down. JP Podcast. Let's go.
Let's go.